recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today we begin the Sefer Kinim, which begins on Daf Chav Bet, thanks to a printer who decided to put them all together. So, let us first introduce the issues that are involved in Kinim. So, first of all, we know that there are two ways to be bringing an oath as a korban. One is to donate an oath, where you have an opportunity to bring an oath, but only as a korban olah, because there's no shlamim in ofot, and you don't have any opportunity to bring anything but olah v'shlamim as the davar. So by definition, an olah, and actually very often we call the bird that's an olah, we call it nedava here, just to make it simple, because whatever it is that you were bringing that wasn't part of a cane is going to be an olah, because a cane, by definition, is two birds. So it's a nest. And a cane is comprised of two predot, two separate birds. So if it's a chovah, so then by definition, one is a korban ayla, one is a korban chatas. There's different ways that you could become chayav in a chovah. You could be an isha yoledet, you could be an isha zavah, you could be a zav, you could be a mitzorah, you could be a nazir tameh, you could be chayav a korban all over yored, and you're too poor to bring the behemah, so you bring instead a chad lolav, a chad l'chatat, of an oath. In all of those cases, you would be bringing echad lolav, a chad l'chatat. There's only one case where it's possible to bring a chatat alone, and that is a yoledet who can afford to bring the keves. She brings a keves for her olah, but she brings a chatas. One oath is a chatas. One oath as a chatas. Okay, and again, we've spoken many times about Rav Meir Simcha's beautiful insight that the bird, in order to take the place of a chatat behima, has to have something that's put on the mizbeach. But a chatas ha'of has nothing that's put on the mizbeach. For a cane is always going to be both a chatas and an oila. The chatas takes the place of the korban, the damim of the chatas, and the oila, which is put entirely on the mizbeach, takes the place of the emurim of the chatas. But otherwise, the chatas ha'ov doesn't have any kind of emurim at all. It's just the blood gets onto the mizbeach. And vice versa. The oila doesn't have any hazayas adam at all. It has mitzui, which is the equivalent sort of shirayim by the chatas. There's also mitzui. There's no hazay on the oila. Okay, so we basically have a pair which are, in a sense, opposites that we're going to define here up front in the Mishnah. And because of that, since they're opposites, they're not only opposites in what you do with them, they're opposites in where you do with them. So that the Ola is always, remember our Sinan, the bird who flies up, and Ola to Of is up. And from there, everything else follows. Ola Pema is down, and Chatat Of is down. The chatat beima is up. Now the beima is vice versa is down. So that's the way in which it's easy to remember. But because they're opposites, if you get confused as to which is which, you've got a problem, because then they're both going to be puzzled. And that accounts for our masechet. Our masechet basically is analysis of the mathematics of mixtures when it comes to kinim. Now the additional two factors that need to be taken into account in understanding the masechet is that the two birds of a single cane are entangled, by definition. So if one is an ayla, then the other is a chatas. If one is born as a chatas, and the other is an ayla. There's no way to avoid that entanglement. You cannot decide, because you have a mixture, you cannot decide that you're going to unentangle the birds of a cane. And I'll just bring the requisite number of olot to the requisite number of chatas. But they're only entangled when they've been defined as a cane. So that if a woman simply brings, let's say she owes for 10 separate zivot, she could bring 10 kinim, meaning 20 total birds. Those 20 total birds are paired up in 10 kinim one chatat and one oma. But she might also just bring 20 birds. Tell the kohen, you pair them up. You decide what to do. I don't know. I'm just giving you the money or the birds. They can just take care of it. That's what Richie would do, right? Richie had a baby. Richie would basically just bring the birds. You just take care of it. I'll pay. Just take care of it. But leave me alone. So in that case, you only have an entanglement on the total, because you not necessarily, if I'm going to bring two alot, one after the other. So then one was from one came, one was the other came, because I'm defining them as I go. Which relates to the final point, and that is there's only two ways in which a cane is defined. Either right up front, when you bring it, you buy it, or by the coin as he does it. Anything that's said in between is irrelevant. And therefore, when we talk about a cane stuma, it means that nobody ever defined what it was. A cane mifurash is where the woman defines it. We say woman because most cases are where you have a yoledet or a zova. That's obviously going to be the majority of cases, but it makes no difference if it's a man's carbon for his zivot or a woman's carbon for her zivot. Okay, with that in mind, we can now begin our halakha perek, and Richie's already got a question.
If it's a ken mifurash, do you have to not only say these two are part of the ken, but say this one is for chatat and this one is for olah?
That's what a ken mifurash means. In other words,
these two are a ken.
No, that's not called a ken mifurash. That's called a defined ken, but not a ken mifurash. Oh, okay. So we don't have a technical word for that. It's just a ken. Okay, and we're gonna stress that difference in one of the halachas coming up over here in our halakha perek. And with that in mind, by the way, not every last detail of that is necessarily muskam according to everybody, but we're gonna follow basically the rush here because he's much more straightforward, simple, and won't get into all of the questions. I don't know if anybody knows who the mafarish is over here. It's once again someone who wrote a kuntres that follows the Masechta. There is a Tosafot that we have on the left. And then there are three major pirushim. We have the Ravitz pirush, which is all the way on your right. And we have the Ruzrachias Halevi pirush, the Balamar, all the way on the left. And the Rosh is printed here on the bottom. So, Chatat Ha'ov. But first, the Mishnah comes to define the general rules so that everything else will follow simply. Just that you should know. A Chatat Ha'ov is Naaseit Lamatan. When we say Naaseit Lamatan, we mean the Malika is done while you're standing on the ground, and the actual Hazoya and Mitzui, which is after the Hazoya, when you press it up against the Mizbeach, that's all done beneath the Chut HaSikra, the lower half of the Mizbeach, and downwards. A Chatat Behima, on the other hand, would be brought Lamala. Now, an Olata Of is the exact opposite. The Olata Of would be done Lamala, which means that I do the Malika and the Hazoya. There is no Hazoya, but the Mitzui, Lamala, and the Olata Be'ima is Lamata. Now, if I made any difference in that, Imshina Bezeo Bezeo Pasu, so if I made any type of Shinui, and I did a Chata Ta'of Lamala, or I did a Olata Ta'of Lamata, I would pass it. Now, that is only in terms of the Dam, but you may recall that Malika, Becholma Kom Shom Izbeach is Kshera. It's a little bit difficult to do the Malik in one place and do the Hazoy in another place because you've got to get the blood. You don't put the blood in a coat, so you're gonna lose your blood. Okay, that's the first rule. Now, Seder Kibim, when you're bringing a Chiyev, a Chova, Kachu, the Chova is defined as Echad Chatat Vechad Olat. The Nedarim and the Devot are defined as Kulan Olot. Now, that doesn't mean you have to bring a cane. You can bring a single bird. But if you do bring a cane, it's going to be olot. There's no chat, obviously. If you bring a cane, it'll be two olot. But you don't have to bring a cane. But if somebody says, harei alai cane, so then, and the harei alai cane means two olot, because you cannot be mechayev yourself any more in a chatat ha'ov than you could be in a chatat behima. So, by definition, it's an olot. Now, when we talk about nedarim and nedavot, by the way, what's the difference between a neder and a nedava? We've had it so many times, but here the Mishnah wants to put all these rules together. So when I say a neder, what do I mean? I mean, where you said, Hare alai olah. Hare alai means I take it on my shoulders. It's my responsibility. A nedava, on the other hand, is Hare zo olah. This is an ola, and that accounts for the difference in din between them, which is ma bein nedarim la nedavot elosh nedarim. If you accepted responsibility, you said hari alayola. So then, if something happens to that bird or that cane, meitu or nigdavu, it's your responsibility because you said it's on me. Be said in English, it's on me. Hari alayola, it's on me. That means I'm taking responsibility for it. If you say this is, you never said a word about responsibility. You just made it kodesh. Fine, if kodesh gets it, it's great. If it dies or gets hit by lightning or whatever, that's not your problem. So over there, somebody walks off with it, it's not your problem. Meto nignavu ein chayav b'achrayutav. Okay, so this is the introductory Mishnah to basically a Masechet that wants to talk about the chances involved in a mixture. So first, let us recognize the problem that comes about in a mixture, and that is, let's take a simple case. You'd have a chatat that get mixed up in an ola. So a chatat falls into a bird, which is a chatat, falls into a group of birds which are olot, or an ola gets mixed up in a group of birds which are chataot. I don't care if it's 1 in 10,000 birds. They all have to die because there's nothing you can do with them. There's no pinion for a bird. There's no mum for a bird. You can't wait until it gets a mum because it won't even help you. And as we saw earlier, there's no toret pinyon in a bird, even if it would be mechusar eiver. There's nothing to do. You can't possibly bring it on the mizbeach. Don't worry about when you finish. Worry about when you learn. So, man, oh man, nothing's changed. It's either going to be the watch. You know, Fox, you're going to be sent to the principal pretty soon. You have to stand in the corner.
Just do what every student does. So what are you going to do?
I'll tell you, that's a dangerous thing to say. What are you going to do? We're going to stab you. What do you think I'm going to do?
Exactly. Yeah, God help us. No,
I meant the student to the principal, not the principal to the student.
So, because of that, you're not going to be able to bring it on his back. You can't possibly bring a suffix in the wrong place. You're not allowed, since it's an issue, to bring Psulei Mizbeach. So therefore, we run into problems where we ever have a mixture. So because of that, if a chatat is nitarva bechova, so then the rule is very simple. You are allowed to bring only the maximum that would be kosher in a worst-case scenario. Right? Because of the entanglement problem, the moment that you go beyond the number of chataot that are definitely here in the chova, you may be touching an entangled ola with a chatat. So in other words, if you have one chatat that falls into, but a simple case, one chatat falls into a cane, where one is a chatat and one is an ola, there it's easy to see that all you could do is bring one chatat. Because the moment you bring the second bird, you cannot be sure whether it's the chatat that fell in or whether it's the entangled ola of this chatat.
Maybe the first one also?
What's wrong?
Was an ola?
Fine. So there's no ola. The chatat fell into chova, which was not mefurash. It only, the ola appears only when you bring the chatat of that cane.
And then by elimination.
So then the entanglement, not that, look at it as entanglement, not by elimination. No, they have to do with photons, but it's fine.
Defined after
one defines the other is what entanglement means. So if I'm going to define one as an ola, then I've defined the other as a chatas.
Physics term, right?
Yeah, it's a physics term. Okay.
Until Rebbe said that, I had it.
No, good. Just
once we mentioned physics.
No, it's a kinyan term.
Okay.
That's simple. I don't know which one is more difficult. I have to tell you. Okay, so by definition, the number of possible worst-case scenario kosher is what you're allowed to bring, which means you can only bring the maximum number of the type of bird that fell in that wouldn't possibly be touching on an entangled bird of another type. So, therefore, you are allowed to bring the number of chataot that would be allowed in the chova. Now, here, of course, we're talking about only where the kinim were also not defined as kinim. They were just a group of birds, because if the kinim were defined as kinim, as we're going to see later, let's say even one woman would bring two kinim. Two kinim are not four birds. Two kinim and two kinim. So she had set aside birds for a leda, for instance, and then set aside birds for a ziva. Two and two. You don't say, well, there's four birds, so let me bring the number of chatav. No, because at that point, the one kain would be the problem. The moment I bring the first chatas, then the next bird may be the oila of the kain that had been defined with that chatas. So I can't bring it as a chatas. So this rule is only where you have the birds as a group not defined in any particular entanglement to each other. So I can go through the number of birds that I have allowed to go through as if each one would be from a different kain. But once I hit the maximum number, now I don't know whether I'm touching on the bird that fell in or I'm touching a linked bird, which is entangled and now it's defined as an ayla. So I'm going to bring a chata. And the same thing would be vice versa. An ola that was nitarva bechova. So then the kosher would be only the maximum number of olot that are in the kinim of chova. Because if I go beyond that and say, well, maybe this is the ola that fell in. Yeah, maybe. But it's more likely that it's the chatat that has been defined by the ola that you brought before. And it is the other matching bird in the cane, and you're going to bring it as an ola. And therefore it's going to be pasul, and you're going to be bringing psulim on the mizbeach. So that's it. Your maximum is your worst case scenario. That's the rule.
When did I define maximum number?
Understand your question.
Because we said that we are not having kinim here, just a group of birds.
So yeah, but I only owe four kinim, so I brought eight birds. So the moment I bring four of those birds, the others are entangled no matter what kain they're part of. Because they have to be entangled. All I'm saying is I didn't tell you which two go together.
If you bring a ten, do you always do the chatat first?
Okay, so you're allowed, therefore, kabinin olah shebechova. And here it makes no difference, and you'll note that here we switch our language because we're discussing the olah. Since an ola usually is a nedava, it doesn't really have to be a nedava. It could be that you know that an ola from a chova fell in. Yeah, but just to keep things simple, we'll say ben shechova meruba nedava muetet. But had we been referring to the first part of Mishnah, we would have said ben sheha chova meruba vehakatat muetet. It would have been the same thing. It's just a synonym for ola. We're using the word nedava. It's a little confusing. But it's really irrelevant whether it's a chova or a nedava. It's just a way of referring to it. So ben sha chova meruba nedava muetet, ben sha nedava meruba v'chova muetet, ben sha shtein shavot. It really makes absolutely no difference because we're not dealing with bitul. We're dealing with worst case scenarios. So we couldn't care less what the chances are because we already said even one in a million. All of them are going to be puzzle. And that's because since we're dealing with organisms, we're dealing with balei chayim, not going to be puzzle one or the other. There's no din of bitul, and we have no option of being put of them. So what the heck are we going to do with them? So therefore, since we're not dealing with proportions, we're only dealing with worst case, who cares? Whatever the worst case is, who cares how it works out according to the number that fell in? You've got a million olos that fell in to one chova. So you can bring one ola. Because the moment you bring the second one, maybe that's the chatas that was linked to this one. There's nothing that you can do because rov doesn't help you, and ri'ya doesn't help you for gmum, and therefore you do what you know. That's all you can do. Now, this is all in a case of a chova and a nedava, meaning that you've got, again, continuing the last case, when you've got a single bird that's mixed with the other two birds. But let's say a chova that was nit arva zo bezo. Suppose you have different chovot that got mixed up one in the other. So you, let's say you have two women. One brings one chova, one has a chova. Or one has two and the other one has two. Or one has three and the other one has three. So then the rule is that you could bring worst case scenario. But in this case, the worst case scenario is the maximum that would be allowed for the minimum. In other words, you would bring the mechza kasher, mechza pasul, because in this case, since it's the same amount, the worst case scenario is I'm always going to be able to bring the minimum. In this case, they're the same, so I'm always able to bring what one of them has. So let's say each one has one, I can bring one chatas and one ayla. Because if I bring more than that, I may be touching on the same woman's chatas. Now, her ayla chatas, if it's chatas for one or chatas for the other woman, that's fine. But how can I bring two chatot? Because maybe the second chatas is the ayla of this woman. The same thing would be if it would be three and three. I could bring three chata'ot to three olot. My worst case scenario is that it all belonged to the same person. Okay, fine. So it all belonged to the same person. If they had three kinin, so I just brought their three kinin. Three birds of chata'ot and three birds of olot. So everything would be fine in that case. Suppose we have different numbers. So suppose we have one woman has one kinin, okay? The other woman has two kinim, or three kinim, or ten kinim, or maybe it's a third woman that has ten kinim, and the fourth woman has 100 kinim. I don't care. And one of them has 100, okay? The general rule is that if it's mixed in an uneven number of kinim, then it's always the minimum that will be kosher. Because your worst case scenario is that you're touching all of the birds of one woman. And therefore, if they're all the same woman, your worst case scenario is that half and half will be kosher, but anything beyond that is not. So let's say you've got one woman that's got 100 kinim, and one woman that's got one kain, you could bring one chatas or one ayla. Because the moment that you bring two of either type, they might both be from the same woman. So how are you going to bring it on the mizbeach? So therefore, the muat is always kosher. Now this is true, whether we're talking about Mishem Echad, or whether we're talking about Mishnei Shemot, or whether it belongs to one woman, or whether it belongs to two women. What do I mean when I say Mishem Echad? When I say Mishem Echad, what do I mean? Mishem Echad means, let's say, the two are both kinim for Leida. So we have Leida, Leida. We have Ziva, Ziva. Okay, so that is what I mean when I say Mishem Echad. When I say Mishnei Shemot, I mean, let's say one kain is for Leida, one kain is for Ziva. And that would be the one woman, or whether it's Shem Echad or Shnei Shemot. Now, it could also be Mishtei Nashim. It could be Mishtei Nashim, both of whom are Chaya for the same reason, Alzo Leida ve'alzo Leida. Or Alzo Ziva ve'alzo Ziva, that would be Mishem Echad from two women. We could also have Mishnei Shemot on two women. Alzo Leida ve'alzo Ziva. So in any case where the kain was defined, when I talk about mixtures and I say lezo, 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 it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the same person or we're talking about different people. Because if she defined, let's say, five kinim for Ziva and one kain for Leida. So then if we mixed them, we run into exactly the same problem that we would if we had two women. Because the moment that she has linked up two birds with each other by saying, okay, this is my kain for Leida, then those are entangled as a given. So since they're entangled as a given, I have no right to risk bringing the wrongly entangled bird. So if I bring one lachatas and one la'ila, that defines my worst case scenario. Up until now, we kept it simple. We said your worst case scenario is that you brought the wrong persons. But it really is not a question of who. It's a question of, is it an entangled cane or is it not? That's all that counts. So you can entangle a cane in different ways. A cane can be entangled because the woman was bringing it for a particular purpose. A cane could be entangled because it belongs to a particular woman. So by definition, it couldn't possibly be that linked up to a bird and some other woman's, right? And a cane could be entangled, which we're not talking about over here, by her simple definition of, okay, here is my cane, and that's the case of Leida, Leida. Here's my cane for the birth of my first child. which took place 5 years ago. I never got a chance to come to the Beit HaMikdash. Here's a cane for the birth of my second child, which took place 3 years ago. I never had a chance to come to the Beit HaMikdash.
These are all stumot.
Here's a cane for... They're all stumot, but the kinim have been defined by different purposes by her. Now, it really doesn't matter whether... We're keeping it simple. So we're saying, okay, later one, later two, later three, right? But the truth is that that's not really the point. The point is the fact that she was meyachidet. That's the point. So in other words, if, let's say, she would have come in and she would have said, I had three kids, here's six birds, and figure out what to do. So then we wouldn't have that problem, because then it wouldn't be leida v'leida. Then it would be all for leida, because we don't have a separate cane for one leida and a separate cane for another leida until it's actually brought. So the kohen says, look, I don't know what's what. I know three of these are neila, three of these are chata. Let's start off. Here's my three chataot, right? And here's my three olot, and I'll match them in order. Because he has a right to do that, since she wasn't mefarish, not the nature of the predot, and not the nature of the kinim. But what the Mishnah is really doing is, in order to avoid going through a whole explanation of why she would have specifically said, the normal case is that, okay, she was mafresh her money, here's the money that I owe for, this is my leida of my bechor. She sets aside the money, now this is the money, one is for a chatas, one is for the island. A few days later she has another baby, here's my money for baby two, and so on and so forth. Then we've got a problem, because then they're linked. So when she goes and buys the birds, she's basically defined the kinim, even if she doesn't define which bird is for which.
Do we have to bring the karmanot for the specific leida? The kohen has to
yes.
say first, second, third?
Or yes, but he doesn't. He can say for whatever it is due. He doesn't have to know. Right, so as we're going to see, generally speaking, you deposit your money in a particular container that's for that purpose, and then the kohen, you get a ticket. And then, you know, you go, you pay him, and you buy a ticket, and you present the ticket to the kohen, and then he has him kaponet for whoever this is for, like we do with all of the... with all of the karbanos to avoid the problems, because if he gets mixed up, then we're really in trouble. So as we saw in the beginning of Zvachim, we like to keep it simple. We made a takana bedafka not to bring with the das for a specific violin and so on, because it's too easy to get mixed up. Okay, so that is clarifying that even though we pretended that we knew exactly what we were talking about, lezo X and lezo Y and lezo Z, the word lezo is a loose word. Because lezo could mean the same person, but for a different purpose. Okay? So therefore, I don't care whether it's two women, I don't care if it's the same woman, I don't care when it's two women, whether it's the same purpose, but for leida, or if it's for two women, it's for different purposes. I don't care if we're talking about one woman, but for different purposes, who define it that way, that's equivalent to two women. So just know that even though I talk about lezo velezo, Zovizo doesn't refer to people necessarily, just refers to entanglement. And there's different ways to create entanglement. That's a different way of stating this mission. I keep it very simple. And therefore I explained what I meant. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, it is not necessarily even true what you said. Because what you're assuming is that the moment that something is owned by two different women, then we will never have a chance for the kohen to say, well, I'm just going to bring whatever I want for whomever. That's what you're saying. You're saying because since it's talking about two women, we're always going to have an entanglement problem with the lesser amount. And we can only go according to the woman who owed the lesser number of kinim, right? But that's not necessarily true. Let me give you a case. Suppose two women pool their money. And now they bring that money. They're not mefarish what it is. And they say, look, why don't we just give birds to the kohen without defining who owns what? And we will buy this with a condition. Now, the Gemara originally thinks, there's a number of Gemaras that analyze this, Rabbi Yossi hold the Breira or not. The assumption is that this Mishnah proves that Rabbi Yossi holds a Breira. So that since I didn't define what is mine, when the Kohen defines it, it's then not only the normal rule that the Kohen is able to define a particular preda within a kain, but as in Shutafut, where it's mivurar in the end, that I was bocher this chelek, and you were bocher that chelek, if you hold of Yesh Breira, so that defines it from the beginning. That's what's happening here. In the end, the Gemara says, proves from elsewhere that Rabbi Yossi does not hold the Breira, in which case his mission appears to be a problem. Because Rabbi Yossi basically asserts that a Kohen can define whose it is. And therefore, if it belongs to women, that doesn't necessarily create an entanglement of a minimal cane. Because all of the birds can still be looked at as loose birds that I have a right to team up how I want. So in this case, I, as the Kohen, will say, okay, this is Chatas for Lady A. And this is Ola for Lady A. This is Chatas for Lady B, and so on. You said it's always going to be a problem if it's two women. Not so. So how is that possible if you don't know the Bray, right? It's possible through making a condition. Now, precisely what the condition is a machlokas rishonim here, which doesn't require that there's a kinyan, but that I'm going to be Michael, Michael, however it is. That's a machlokas here. The Rush understands it kipshute, which is that Rabbi Yossi is saying, if I don't define it, and I say I'm holding off an assertion of the balut until such time as the Kohen does it, why do I need Breira? I don't need to have it defined originally. So let the Kohen define it as he brings it to who it belongs to. And then I'm not going to have a problem as long as we just brought all the birds at one time or all the money at one time without ever asserting. I'm just throwing it into a common kitty. I'm not maintaining a balut on anything. So fine. So that's okay. And I don't need to come on to Breira. Okay, Tarsus has a problem with that. What he believes that it still requires Breira since the money Badafka was kind of lechatchila. These are issues that go beyond our concerns right now. We're just, again, this is the Perek of Definitions. So the Perek of Definitions, first of all, defines what we mean by a kain, either chova or nedava. It defines what we mean in terms of the aveda of the chatas versus the oila of the oath. It defines what would make an ola or a chatat pasul. And in order to do that, it has to first define what the din is of a chatat and what the din is of an ola. And what would be the din if you changed. We'll find out that it's possible. It defines what the halacha would be of a tarovet. That there's no din of bito and that there's no possibility of pidyon. It defines the simple rules. Simple rule is, analyze your worst case scenario, assume that that's what happened, and where you have entanglement, you cannot go beyond the number of predot that are clearly not going to touch upon a possible entangled bird. So you could bring the maximum number of one type, which would not cause you to accidentally be touching on the wrong type. That's what you can do. So if one fell in, then obviously that's the only type that you'll be able to bring. And you'll only be able to bring the number of that type that might have been entangled in the kinim. So that's rule number one. The other rule that we brought over here is that when we define the mixture, we're defining it in terms of kinim that have been linked. And there's where we run into entanglement. How are they linked? Usually, the simple way of referring to it is woman A versus woman B. But that is not necessarily true. It could be birth A and birth B. It could be birth versus zivot. It's irrelevant. The point is, the moment you've got entanglement, you have to apply your rule. And wherever there's entanglement, worst case scenario. So if a single bird falls in, so then the worst case scenario would be limited to that type of bird. If a chova falls in of one and the other, or however many, but of both types, so then you're limited to the minimum number of possibly entangled birds of both types. And that's all very simple. At the end of the perek, and this is all an introductory perek, the end of the perek, Rabbi Yossi says that you need to take into consideration the fact that not necessarily does ownership create entanglement, because it's possible that everything was left up to the Kohen, and not necessarily even would a particular bringing for a particular purpose or different purposes create entanglement, because I can give it to the Kohen and tell him you decide. In which case, things would be much simpler. so that the cases that we're referring to, entanglement, is where that wasn't done. Obviously, it's easy to have cases that are entangled, but just don't assume that necessarily when something came along, it was entangled. This is our introduction. If you get this introductory daf correct, then the rest will only be purgatory. If you didn't get it right, the rest will be hell.
Forget about it. It's in a good way. There's two ways you can forget it.
That's an entangled forgetting?
Forget about it?
Rabbi Yossi says, well, but not necessarily is that an entangled cane just because two people are involved. Because you could have shtei nashim, shelakhu et kineihem be'eruv, they bought everything with the same money. If that money mattered, they gave the money directly to the Kohen. Or shenatnu d'mei kineihem la'kohen. The deal is over there, le'ezer sheyirtzeh kohen yakriv chatat, le'ezer sheyirtzeh kohen yakriv ola, for whatever purpose, he could define the purpose also. Be'mishnei mechad, be'mishnei shemot, he could say, okay, this is the chatas for the first birth of that woman, and this is the oila for the ziva of the second woman, whatever he does. Then there you won't run into an entanglement, because they didn't initially entangle it. Seder kinim kachu, a chuvah is defined as echat chatat vechat ola, and the dori and the davot are defined as olot. Now it doesn't mean they have to be necessarily a cane, but if you bring it as a cane, they're both olot. Ezo neder, omare alai ola, ezo nedavar, omare zo ola. Ma be nedorim le nedavot, ala she nedorim meto nignevu, chayav la chrayutan. Nedavot meto nignevu, en chayav la chrayutan. Next yisod. Chatat she nedava ba ola. Or an ola she nedava ba chatat, there's no solution. Afilo echad beribu, yomutu kulam, because there's no pidyon, and there's no bittel. Now, in the event that a chatat was netarev b'chova, so then you could certainly bring a chatat, because the chova is a chatat. But you can only bring the number of chataot, of chovot, that there were. Because otherwise you might be bringing an entangled ola, pretending it's the chatat that fell in, but it isn't. It's an ola, and that you're not allowed to do. Or vice versa. If an ola was netarva b'chova, so again, you're certainly allowed to bring an ola. As a matter of fact, you're allowed to bring as many olot as could have been olot without getting onto an entangled chata. So therefore, kaminyan ola shebechova. Now, I don't care what the proportions are, because this is not a din in proportion. So it makes no difference whether the chova is meruba or the nedava is meruba. Makes it all the same. Ben shechova meruba v'nedava muetet, ben shenedava meruba v'chova muetet, ben sheshteyem shavot, or whether it was the chatat, not the nedava, was meruba and the chova muetet, and so on and so forth. The Mishnah doesn't go through both scenarios, it only speaks about the latter scenario, which is Ola, and therefore calls it a Nidava. Where you have a single identifiable bird, in this case we're talking about the last case, so it means an Ola and a Chova. But we could have just as well said, there's one identifiable bird. Suppose there were two birds, and they were entangled, but they weren't defined. So if it was a chovash netava zo bezo, so let's say achat lezo v'achat lezo, or shtayim lezo, shtayim lezo, shalosh lezo, whatever the maximal number we could bring without hitting a possible entanglement, that's what we bring, of both types, because in this case we have both types. So mechza kasher, mechza pasul. Worst case scenario, all the birds belong to one woman. Okay, how many, if they're all the same woman's birds, are kosher? Three chatot, three olot, if she had three kinim, that's what you can bring, and that's all that you can bring. But what about, maybe it belonged to the other woman, so she also has three and threes. If it's the same, it's always mechza kosher, mechza pasul. How about if they're different amounts? So one has one cane, and one bird has one. One woman has two birds, and one woman kinim. One woman has three kinim, one woman has 10, one has 100. And I don't care really. Same woman, different woman. We're talking about three women. Whatever the case would be, always the rule is, The worst case scenario. So the worst case scenario is they're all coming from the same woman. So then the one who has the least number of possible chatot and olot, you can bring her least number. That's the most you can do. Because the moment you bring more than that, how do you know it's from another woman? Maybe it's all from her, and then you'll be bringing an entangled oila as a chatas, or vice versa. And therefore, the rule is very simple. Hamuat kasher. And when I talk about a mixture, I don't give a hang whether it's mishem echad, mishnei shemot, misha echad, mishtei nashim. It's all the same to me, as long as you don't touch entanglement. So whatever he finds it, when I say mishem echad, I mean you have leida and leida, or ziva and a ziva. If you defined your kinim for different leidot or different zivot, it's the same exact problem, and that's whether it's from the same woman. When it's mishnei shemot, it could be one for a leida, one for a ziva. Where obviously you understand that those are separately linked birds. When I say mishtei nashim, I don't care. I don't care whether alzo leida, alzo leida, alzo ziva, alzo ziva. That would be mishem echad. If I say mishtei nashim, mishtei shemot, I could have mishtei shemot. Maybe one has a leida, one has a ziva. However, it's going to end up being defined, whether it's by the ownership, whether it's for the purpose, whether it's for two different leidot or two different purposes, bichlal, a leid and a ziv, it's all the same thing. The moment you created an entangled cane, boom. Rabbi Yossi says, well, not necessarily is that an entangled cane just because two people are involved. Because you could have shtei nashim, shelakhu et kineihem be'eruv. They bought everything with the same money. If that money mattered, they gave the money directly to the Kohen. Or should not do the make kineihem la Kohen. The deal is over there, le'ezer she'yirtze Kohen yakriv chatat, le'ezer she'yirtze Kohen yakriv ola, for whatever purpose. He could define the purpose also. Be'mishnei mechad, be'mishnei shemot. He could say, okay, this is the chatas for the first birth of that woman, and this is the oila for the ziva of the second woman, whatever he does. Then there you won't run into an entanglement because they didn't initially entangle it.
Frank,
I'm doing the halakha masech.
Masech is kinim daf chav beis. Just ignore the chav and everything will be fine. So let's first just give a little bit of an introduction to the issues that are going to be raised here. Maseches Kinim essentially consists of an analysis of, this is a continuation really, the Inyan Mila, of mixtures, infusions. And what happens is over here is we have a situation in which we have two linked entities. Because a cane consists of a chatas and an oila. The problem with a cane is that you define one automatically as soon as you do the other one. And this leads to horrific complications where one has gotten mixed in a different pile. Because the moment you act upon one, you may ruin the other pile because in having defined what was there as a particular thing, you won't be able to use your pile anymore because it'll be mixed with something else. Let's get the backgrounds. First of all, there's a difference between a chatas of and an olas of, which lies behind all of the problems. And that is that a chatas of has to be brought lamata from the chuta sikra. You put the dam on the lower part of the mizbeach. Remember, there's only, you take the dam and you sprinkle it, and then you are mematze it against the mizbeach on the bottom. The oila, and I've told you many times, the way to remember this, is an oila means going up, and an oaf means flying up, right? So, oila sa'oaf, put the two together, and you remember that's the thing that's got to be done on top. Everything else is in the inverse. So if it's an oila, it's behema, as opposed to an oila sa'oaf, it goes on the bottom. If it's a chatas behema, the chatas behema goes on top. So it's just as once you remember the oila sa'oaf, the chatas sa'oaf goes on the bottom, chatas behema goes on top, and the Olas Behemah goes on the bottom. So everything is exactly inverted. All you got to remember is Olas Olas Lamal. Fine. The problem is that if you put the Dom of the Ela Lamata, you put the Dom of the Chatas Lamala, you ruin them. Now they become useless. Okay, so that's item number one. Item number two is that in every single case, except for one, when you're bringing a ken, and a ken refers to two predot, two birds that are linked, when you're bringing a ken, which is now taking the place of your chiyuv, at say your chayev in a korban ola v'yored. So over there, taking the place of a chatat is surprisingly an ola ta'ov and a chatas ta'ov, not just the chatas ta'ov. There are places where the Torah only prescribes a korban ola sa'ov and a chatas ta'ov, such as by a mitzvah and by a nazir and by a zava. All the korbanos ola v'yored come down to an ola and a chatas ta'ov before the mincha, and that was the middle level. And the only case in which you could have a chatas alone that's not coupled to an ayla is a yoledet who is an ashiran. So she brings a chatas ha'ot, that's what every yoledet brings, except that she can afford it, she brings a keves lola. She can't afford it, that she too brings a keves, an ayla sa'ot and a chatas ha'ot. So just about every single time you have a chiyuv to bring ofot, it is a mixed chatas and an ayla. Now you can also make a gift. Well, we finished this a long time ago. You can also make a gift of ofot, but of course you can't make a chatas as a gift. You can only make an ayla as a gift. And therefore, for sake of brevity, when we want to refer to an ayla sa'ov, we talk about a nedava. When we want to talk about mix, we talk about a chova, because a nedava is always the ayla. Now, the overall rule, because of the linkage of the chatas to the ayla, is this. Whenever you have a set, what you do with one defines what the other. The problem is in defining the nature of the set. If you have defined up front, which is possible, in other words, what makes one an ayla and one a chatas? Two possibilities. Either when you buy them, you so define them. It's o bishat kniyah. So you are now, I'm buying them as one for this and one for that. This is what I magdish them as. The other way is ba'asiyat ha-kohen. When the kohen actually comes to do it, if you didn't define it at the time of purchase, it can't be defined at some arbitrary time, which, okay, I think I like this bird for my fox. That does not do anything. It's only the act of the kohen that is going to be mashpia on defining which is which. Now, what is a set? Let's say a person was chayev, anishas chayeves for birth and for zivot. Is that a set? She brings four birds. Well, it depends. If she sets up the two birds as a set for her later, and then she purchases another two birds as a set for her ziva, even though she didn't define which bird is the ayla and which bird is the chatas, the two birds are linked. Not the four birds are interlinked. And we'll see this makes very important differences later. If she has multiple birds, the same thing would be true. She had a bird. She went ahead and set aside her cane. She didn't say which one is which, by the way, is called a cane situma. If you say which is which at the time that you buy it, it's called a cane mefureshet. The word cane in the Gemara is feminine. So we use always the lashon, even though modern Hebrew isn't that.
Do they mark the birds when they do?
No. And if it's mefureshet, yes.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Yes, I mean, hopefully. If not, we run into our problems here where the marking falls off. Mm-hmm. You know, now they use the little chips, you know, they embed the chips. There's no problem. You just read it with a reader. But in the days of the Mishnah, you know, you had to decide which one was an oil, which one was a contest.
You know.
You can use either one. You can use either a Tor or a Ben Yonah, but you can't use one Tor and one Ben Yonah. You have to have a set of Torim or a set of Bnei Yonah, which we'll see is also Negea, whole question later on, as to what happens if one gets lost. In other words, which one is Koveya, the Torah or the Bnei Yonah? But we don't have to do everything at once.
Male and female
have
the subtle excavations, little round stone, has inscribed on it Korban, to be a design of two birds. The suggestions are that you roll it on a piece of clay that you're sealing the jar with, like the Mishnah says, like you mark for Korban, Shulam, Maestrot, or...
Does it say Korban backwards or forwards?
It says it forwards, which makes that less likely.
Yeah.
Or...
They don't tell you the details. They like the sound. They like the sound erudite.
No, it's
like,
no, they don't even understand that. The archaeologist, I'm saying, the Rebbe of Ben Taira looks at it and says, what could this be?
Right. Right.
The archaeologist said, maybe he's really ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, but if a homeowner's thing, I may not be so professional. I may do it this way. It doesn't matter to me. It's backwards. I was able to make it that way. It's not like
right. It's a little dyslexic.
Right? And or that it was attached to a birdcage, so you know this one is Korban.
This birdcage.
It was put into a birdcage, so you know this is
these all birds. The birds in this cage are Korban.
Right.
Okay.
What else could they
be? I don't understand. Yeah, I mean, you know me in archaeological science. When I was finding it extremely obvious.
Birds,
very sweet. It's very sweet. Very, very sweet. I assume they love birds also. In any event, so what happens over here is that if you create a set, that each one is linked in the set. However, if you don't create a set, let's say the woman brings for four different births, she brings eight births. Now, so there's two things that remain undefined. Not only did she leave at stuma in the sense of not defining her chattas and her oila, she left at stuma in the sense of not defining which bird is linked to which other bird. In that case, when the Kohen brings one bird, he doesn't automatically define another bird. After he brings, let's say if she had eight birds, he brought four chataot, the other four become olot. But until he finishes bringing them, all birds remain in a state of indecision. And until we define them one way or the other, they could go either way.
Wait, until he brings the second one?
Until he brings the fourth one.
The fourth one.
Right, because up until the time he brings the fourth one, he could choose any other bird to be the fourth one. Therefore, there's no kviyut until you bring all of what was left of one type to bring. So you bring all four chataot, and all four would turn into olot. But up until the point that you bring the last one, you still have basically an indeterminate bird on all of the others.
In terms of procedure, would the Kohen take one and one, or would he take all four chatot and then go and take all four?
We'll talk about that. There's a lot of problems of procedure here. Bechalal, and how such a thing was allowed, and we'll see. But the main problem in that issue is that the norm is that, this, by the way, I would suggest is the real meaning of the thing that they found, the korban and the two birds. The norm was that you went and you paid, and you got a chip. And the chip was a korban of two birds, and that's probably what they found was the chip. No, yeah, but it's a chip. That's the chosa. When they stamp that, what you're looking at is the stamped. You're looking at the positive, not the negative. So you're looking at a chip, probably, of which there were millions. So anybody who wanted to bring a bird would pay at a cash register, get a chip, would present the chip, and then the Kohen would be fine because the woman never came in contact with her birds. The Kohen never saw the birds. So basically what happens is that the Kohen would then define the nature.
She goes to buy the two birds, she puts them in the bag.
Oh, how sweet.
That's sweet.
That last case was assuming they were all Torian or all
Enoch. Yeah, yeah.
Did it over the internet.
That's where it's going. There's no question about it. That's where it's going. So, but it's okay. I mean, you'll get a virtual feel of your birds. You'll hear them chirping, and you can feel them moving in your hands. I mean, we're talking about sophisticated programming here. So the question, but halal is where we would get into such a pickle. A coin should be defining only sets, really. And that's how these cases happen, we'll discuss later today. So let us begin. The Mishnah, once you know the yesodas, which are that you're only going to be koveya, the other member, when it's a member of a set. And the thing that defines it as a set is either saying b'feirush, I'm setting aside these two birds, or being the only birds that you're bringing. So if there's two women that are bringing birds, and they get mixed up, that's two sets by definition. Normally, if they would be set aside for a particular thing, then that creates a set. A woman who was both a Yoledes and a Zafa. She was set aside. Say, okay, this is for my Leida, this is for my Ziva. And that would create a set. Even as you bring the four birds together, we couldn't arbitrarily take them out and decide what to do with them, because as soon as we brought one, we would be defining the other one. And that means that, let's say we bring an oila, then that means that the chakas is loosier, so that I can't just take a bird and say, okay, let's make this an oila. Maybe that was the chata. So you could see how the larger the set is, the more room we have to maneuver here. Okay? So again, the words you have to remember are kain, which is two birds, prida, single bird, kain mifureshet, which means where I determine which one is the chatas and which one is the eila, and a kain situma, where it wasn't defined, and then you have to remember sets in terms of chova, which is mishem echad, or miisha echad, defines a set. Miisha achad. Shem achad would be zivot. Zivot, leidot. Right. But that, again, that's only where somebody said that that's what it's for. Okay. So begins the mission with an introduction, because the necessary introduction is to know that achad itself and an ola itself are opposites, and they can't be mixed. But if you bring them in the wrong place, they're going to be possible, and therefore you can't simply say, all right, what's the difference of what it is? You have to know what you're bringing. So the chatas of is now say lematan. The chatas of the blood is brought beneath the chutasikra, and the chatas behema is brought lamala mechutasikra. Olata of now say lamala, and the olas of all of the dam is brought lamala from the chutasikra. The olat behema is brought lamata mechutasikra. Ve'im shina bezel bezel pasul. Any changes in the mokum of the dam on any of these cases, you would passel it. Seder hakinim kachu. The normal seder of kinim is that you have a kain that is a chova, meaning that it's coming for a chiyav rather than a nedava, will always be echad chatat v'echad ola, except in one case, as we mentioned before, which is a yoledet, who if she can afford it, will only bring a chatas, and her ola will be an animal via kevis. But when we talk about a kain, by definition, it's an ola and a chatas, but there's no kain that will have two chataot or two olot. So it's always going to be a chat chatat v'chat ola. If it's not a chova, meaning it's a neder and a dava, so then, of course, it's kulan olot, because you cannot bring a chatas as an adava. What is the difference between a neder and a dava? A zo neder, homer hare alai ola. This we've had many, many times before. Ma bein nedarim nedavot, elo sha nedarim, because you took it upon you, when you say hare alai, I'm putting this on me. When you say on me, it means you take responsibility. In which case, meitot nignivu chayavim b'achrayuta, anything that happens to it is your responsibility. When nedavot, when you say, this is, something happens to it, it's not your problem, it's the problem, it's Hegdish's loss. Furthermore, another thing that you have to know is that a living organism, is not batel barov. And therefore, if a single chatas gets mixed up into olot, or a single ola gets mixed up into chatat, afilu echad beribu, even one in 10,000, there's no bittul. I can't bring any of them up to the mizbeach because I don't know what to do with the dam, and I can't bring it above because maybe this is the one that belongs below, or vice versa. Therefore, yamutu kulam, you have to just let them die. You can't use them in any way. And we already saw in pidyon liof, so there's nothing to do about it. Now, the rule is like this. Before we get into the question of kinim that get mixed up, let's think about a case where a single bird gets mixed up in a kain. So here, let's take for our first case a single chatat that now flies into a kain that is a chova, which is a stuma, not a mefureshet. So we have now two chataot here and one ola. The problem is that I don't know which one is the chatas. That's problem number one. So I can't bring any bird for an ola. Because the bird that I'm bringing for an ayla may be the chatas that flew in, and it's not bottle. Problem number two is, once I bring a bird, as a chatas, okay, well, at least I can bring a chatas, because if it's the chatas that flew in, fine. And if it's one of the birds that belong there, fine, I have a right to make it a chatas. But once I make it a chatas, if it was her bird, then the other one is an ayla. So now I can't bring the second one, because now I don't know what to do with the second one. So the rule is always, ein kasher ela ki minyan achatot shebechovah. The maximum that will be kosher it are the number of birds that are chatat in the set of the chovah. So if she would have brought now, let's say, 8 birds for 4 birds, all at one time, and didn't set them up as separate sets. So now, I have 1 chatas flying in, I have a total of 5 chataot. How many chataot can I bring? I can bring 4. Because 4, I know for sure, it wouldn't matter to me one way or the other. Since this is all one set. Since it's all one set and it's stuma, I don't define the nature of the other bird until I complete the entire set. So all of the birds are indeterminate until I actually use them. And I could continue to use them. I bring 1, I bring 2, I bring 3, and when I come to the 4th, I say, what is this? Well, it may be the chatat that flew in, so okay, I could bring it. It may be the last remaining chatat that I wish to bring,
so I can do that.
Of the 8th, so I could bring the 4th.
Why can't I bring the
But 5th? Now when I come to bring the 5th bird, I have to say to myself, now suppose the first 4 birds that I brought were all the birds of the set. Yep. Now there are 4 olot here that cannot be determined the way I want. They are what they are. So if I would bring them lamala as an oila, how do I know I'm not bringing the chatas that flew in as an oila? I don't know what to do. So I'm stuck. Okay. So no matter what it is, always the limiting factor is the maximum number of the type of bird that flew in that would have been part of the indeterminate set. Simple rule number 1.
Who identified was an olive that flew in?
Exactly the same thing.
Why don't they bring one wrong and bring the others right? Why don't they bring, I know that I'm bringing something puzzle, I'm doing it
you
wrong.
You can't bring wrong. What do you mean? I have no right to bring wrong. You have no right to bring it. It's an Isra'lav. You can't bring something that's
a,
I have no right to go bringing up. But can olash nitarva b'chovah, the same thing would be in the other direction. If I bring an olah, now, an oila gets mixed up in the chovah, so in kasher el kiminyan olot shebechovah. The maximum number would be, in the case we use, the 4 birds that were for an ola, I could bring 4. And here it makes absolutely no difference. The numbers are always the same. Bein shachovah merubah v'nedavah mu'et. Again, when we say nedavah, we're talking, oh boy, did you miss a very important introduction. A bad night to miss. Oh man!
Thank God for the internet.
Yeah.
I thought it was Al Gore.
Al Gore?
He claims he was invented the internet. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. He actually said.
This is the wrong election, my friend. You're behind the times.
Thank God it wasn't Al Gore.
For president of the United
States. Robert Isar! It makes absolutely no difference to us whether, and remember, we're using the word nedava, as I told you earlier, as a code for ola. Why? Because most of the ola's birds are nedavot. Since all the nidvot of are ola, and half of nidvot chova are ola, so when I talk about stam and nedav, I'm talking about the ola. Okay, so that's an easy way to refer to it. So it doesn't matter whether, in this case, you've got the chovaz merubah. So we've got a lot, we've got a very big set, you know, 100 million birds. This woman was very, very
upset. That's probably why the passenger pigeons disappeared. You know, the wrong bird got mixed up and they had to get rid of them all. You know,
maybe. You think passenger pigeons are kosher, though?
Why not?
The right kind of bird?
Doves.
These are very specific, very
but
specific.
This would be the same thing if it wasn't one woman, right? If it was just lots of kineola.
No. We'll see that Rabbi Yossi Shita coming up at the end of the parak. You're jumping ahead as usual.
No, I'm just... I don't understand.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. Ben Or maybe there were only two birds in the chova, and there were 100 olos that flew in. Or ben shteyam shavu. It makes no difference. Because the limiting principle is very clear. The limiting principle is that because of the linkage of the two birds in the cane that is stuma, the moment that you will have a clearly defined bird in the chova, you now are going to have a suffix which bird you're taking. And since we described by rule one that any suffix as to which bird you're taking forces you to inaction, and you cannot bring the other, now we're going to have a whole parak dedicated to what about if the guy didn't do the inaction, he went ahead and did something anyway. That makes it even more complicated. But we're assuming right now that this Kohen is, this is called Kohen Nimlach. He's asking for instructions. He's being told what to do. So that in that case, this is what he's told to do. At this point, you have to freeze. So the moment we have a defined bird on the end in which it flew in, you have to freeze. And as long as you have indeterminate birds, and you can continue to act, it's a very simple rule. Therefore, why would it matter how many birds are involved? It makes absolutely no difference. Because as we said, even if one flies into 100,000, into every booth, it's exactly the same halacha. You're face to face with a suffix, there's no bittul on a bal chai, and therefore the rule is very simple. The moment the suffix appears, you have to stop bringing birds. Okay. Bamed varim amurim. Now where does all of this apply? Where you've got one bird which is defined, you've got a chova, and you've got a nidava. But suppose you've got canes that get mixed. And have a chova shnit arvazo bezo. Ooh. Now you've got a cane that has got mixed up, let's say, achat lezo v'achat lezo.
Where is it? Cane
with stuma.
Stuma?
Yeah. We'll see. We can't say the same rule, as we'll see. You have one, because remember the rule was defined by it being one set, and over here you don't have one set. The rule that says the maximum number of birds in the set was only because we had one set. So that was a very simple case. How about if you have more than one set? Because two women, each one who has a cane, you now have two sets. You put them together, you can't apply that rule. Can't apply rule two that we just had. So you have achat lezo, achat lezo. Shtayim lezo, v'shtayim lezo. Shalosh lezo, v'shalosh lezo. Assuming that the same number of kinim belong to each woman, respectively, so then the halacha would be that mechtza kasher or mechtza pasur. Basically, thank you very much for this. So now, you have the two, you have a chatas, and now let's keep our case simple. You have the cane, two kinim that are stumot. Chatas and an oila get mixed up now in a chatas and an oila. Okay, I bring bird number one as a chatas. Great. I now want to bring bird number two. Well, I can't bring it as a chatas because the bird that I picked out as bird number two may actually be the bird that was linked to the first chatas and therefore was defined as an ayla the moment that I bring it. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
In which case, I can't bring it anymore as a chatas. So as soon as I know that I have completed the linkage and one of the kinim was linked, I now have a mixture of other birds.
So I can't bring another?
So yes, I can bring it as an oila because then mamonifshah.
Oh, it's either hers or
it's her. Either hers, in which case she needed to bring an oila anyway, or it's the oila from the other one, so big deal. What I do on from the oila, it's certainly good if I bring the oila from the other one.
Even if they're not connected.
Even if they're not connected, what do you mean? It's either her oila or it's her oila. They both owed an oila, and they both had an opening. Either one of them had an indeterminate oila, and one of them had a determinate oila. What's wrong?
Because I brought
the determinate oila was from the chattas, the one that was linked to the chattas that I brought, so it was a determined oila. The other one is fine, it's open to be an oila, so I can't go wrong. So no matter what happens, I always have half and half. Half of the katos are going to go to pot, and half of the olot are going to go to pot. Let's say that each one of them had four birds, two kinim. Okay, I bring katos number one. Nothing is linked yet, because remember our primary rule. The linkage only occurs when I complete the set, when I complete one of the types of the set. So if I have now four birds to Lady A and four birds to B, and I bring the first chatas, there's no linkage at all yet, because she had to bring two chatas. The linkage goes into effect only the moment that I now bring the second one, or the number of kinim that she had, I bring those number of predot of a certain type. One of them. I bring either the chatas or the olot. Once I do that, I should have mentioned this up front. I just took it for granted, but it's worthwhile speaking out. The entire Masechta is based on worst-case analysis, obviously, right? That's the rule. In other words, we always need to think about what might be the worst possible case here. All right. So as soon as I bring the second chatas, what's the worst possible case? That these two chatot came from the same woman, and that they ended up defining her entire cane, and now she's got two olot that are due. I can now bring two olot, because I can't go wrong. Though, again, applying the worst possible case rule, is that these are the two olot for the same woman to whom I brought the chatot. Fine!
We don't know which woman it is, though, do we?
I said the worst possible case is that it's hers. That's the worst case, because the other woman has four birds available. She's got two birds available. So that's the worst case. But both of her birds are available as olot, so you can't go wrong.
Doesn't the kohen have to know who he's
no.
for?
The general rule is the kohen always brings the bird for whomever it is. He's not supposed to think about who it is, because it's too easy to get confused. So it's l'shem mishahu, basically. Okay, so therefore, the rule here, again, becomes very simple. It's always, if it's an even number, it's always going to be half and half. Because the moment that I get up to half of the maximum of one type, the most that I can do now is bring the half of the other type, Kenegdon. Which means, basically, I'm losing half of my birds between the two women. We're talking about loss in terms of Hegdish, not loss in terms of the women. What the women have to do is a separate issue over here. The assumption here is that this is Hegdish's responsibility now. The woman already brought her bird, handed it over to Hegdish, and you take care of it, basically, right? Okay. So therefore, if you've got the same amount, mech to kosher, umech to pasul. How about if you don't have the same amount? How about if one woman has one cane, one woman has two canes, or one has three canes, one has 10 canes, one has 100 canes. What's the rule? It's very simple. It's always going to be hamu'at kasher. It's always going to be limited by the first possible concluded set. Because the first set that becomes, not concluded, determined set. The first moment that you've got a determined set, you've got a mixture of birds. The value of canes tumah is that nothing is determined. The problem is, the moment I brought the maximum of one type that could have, might have been from one set, I now have a determined bird. And now a determined bird throws me into a pickle. Because I can't do anything else, because maybe I'm going to be bringing a determined chatas as an oila.
Wait a second. Why is it a determined?
The others weren't determined.
You can bring the other half of
it. Because what? As the other type.
Right.
But it's not half and half.
What do you mean?
No, if you have,
I'm always going to be limited by the number of birds in the smallest set.
But yeah. For that woman's kini will be brought.
Yeah. Why?
We'll do all of them, right?
Well, we have no idea whose they are. We can't do any of them. Yeah. We have 100 million birds here. We can bring two. Because one woman had a set of two.
Yeah.
So why can't we bring it for four? Why can't we bring our other two with this also?
A set of two, one king.
Okay, okay.
So she has one chatas and one arila. Bring one chatas and one arila. Go ahead. But the moment that you bring the second chatas, how do you know that that second chatas wasn't the arila that was linked to the chatas that you had brought that was from a single set? And the rule again is that any mixture of chatas and arila is kaput, even one beribu. That's what you're going to end up having over here.
So they'll all be a musa.
So they're all going to be a musa. In other words, we're limited to the miut, as it says over here. And this is true whether you're talking about bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shemot, bein misha achat, bein mishtei nashim. When we say over here the set doesn't really matter to us what type of set it is. Is it a set that's being set aside for Leida? Is it a set that's being set aside for Ziva? Is it the different women that define the set? This is owned by woman Rachel, and this is owned by Leah. It doesn't matter how you define the set. It's just that it was so defined. What do we mean, says the next Mishnah? Kate said, what do I mean when I use the word Mishem Echad? Mishem Echad, I mean Leida and Leida. Or Ziva and Ziva. That would be Mishem Echad. Mishnei Shemot would be Leida v'Ziva. You could have Mishtei Nashim, where one has a Leida and one has a Leida. One has a Ziva, one has a Ziva. That would be Mishtei Nashim, Mishem Echad. You could have Shtei Nashim, Mishnei Shemot too. Azo Leida v'Azo Ziva. The point is you could define a set of in two ways. Define it by who it's being brought for, and what it's being brought for. You can also leave it indeterminate by bringing it all at one time. Now the question is, can two women leave it indeterminate? And this is Rabbi Yossi's halacha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, two women that pool their money can also create a single set. So, Shtei Nashim Shalakut Kineim Be'eruv. Suppose they pay their money together. So they have $100 bill.
Oh, and they bought four.
And they go up and they say, look, between us we owe 8 kinim. So just keep the $100 and let the Kohen define it at the time that he brings the carbon. Now this is a little problematic. Because the Kohen should not be able to define it since he's bringing it for whomever it's brought. Mm. And this creates a lot of difficulties elsewhere. I mean, here, of course, there's no Gemara. But in a number of places, we discuss this Mishnah in terms of the Breira issue. Because does this mean that when the birds, what they say is basically, look, when the Kohen brings the birds, so then it'll be Huvra HaDavar that you got yours, and then I got mine, and we set aside now without caring which one is which. If you hold Breira, you can make Tnai like that. But if you don't hold Breira, you have a problem. And so there's a lot of discussion here. First in the Gemara, and then in the Rishonim, right here on the Daf, between the Tosfos and the Rashi, and the various Shitas that the Tosfos brings, as to how precisely this would work. Now it is possible to get around the problems by saying that what they do is they make a condition that if the money that was used, that was mine, was used to purchase a second katas, because it turned out that one was a katas, then basically I am merchal my money to you, that it should be your katas, in exchange for your being mochelet, your money to me to buy the oila, and so on. Exactly how this works is not really fundamentally part of our sugya, so I'm not going to go into the details, but I do want you to realize it's not normally part of what we could assume is going to be established by the Kohen. It's the act of the Kohen in bringing it as a katas that defines it as a katas. But that's always left open in terms of whose it is. And therefore it's hard to understand how it is that Rabbi Yossi is talking about a case where you would have a single set that would be two women. But nonetheless, the Gemara goes through the possibilities, and it is possible that they bought it in such a way as to make it tonight that would leave it open. And therefore, there isn't any real controversy about Rabbi Yossi's mimer here, unless, A, it forces you to contemplate the questions of Breira, which, as I said, the Gemara uses elsewhere to ask a steer in Rabbi Yossi, because we know that Rabbi Yossi does not hold Breira. We know from other places, the Sugya of Meister and so on. And the Gemara asks it as a steer, and answers that, okay, that we'd have to give it as a different explanation. The only other issue that you have to worry about in Rabbi Yossi's mimer over here is the question of whether we ought to have made a gezeira that a Kohen may get confused between a case where he gets, let's say, four birds from two women at the same time to bring that are stumes, and a case where he gets four birds that are one set from two women that are stumes. And he may apply the rule for the latter to the former, which would be disastrous in the case of Tarugas.
Yeah.
Being as what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that there's a difference, and it's possible for two women to bring, let's say, two kinim apiece that are nonetheless one set of eight birds. And that is a rare case that demands all types of understanding of how it was arranged. So that if we allow a Kohen to proceed, just simply a question of procedure. If our procedure allows for a Kohen to determine all eight of those kinim as if they're one set, so that he's able to bring a maximum of four instead of a maximum of two if there's a mixture, then he might easily get confused if he's not on the ball between that and a case where two women hand him eight birds at one time. Where over there, he is limited to the maximum of two. Because the moment he defines one of the sets, he can no longer do anything. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and said, listen, we'll rely on the Kohen to be smart enough to distinguish between the two cases. So that's his chiddush. So then there's no problem. And this would be true, bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shema. We don't care whether one woman bought it for her zivas and the other one bought it for her leida, or whatever the case may be. If their understanding was that the purchase was without definition, which goes to what? We could look at this all as one set. So don't think that it's a rule of thumb necessarily, just because the Mishnah said whether the set is defined by two shemas, the set is defined by two women. That's typical. But it's not essential. It's possible to have large sets that come from many shemos where the purchase was done in such a way that everybody agrees to. You could have large sets that are from many shemos. And by the same token, says Rabbi Yossi, you can have large sets that are by many women, assuming that they pooled their funds. So it's certainly, you're using this as a matter of convenience. It's like calling an oila and a dava, even though obviously an oila can also be a chayva. It's just a convenience. So recognize we have a new terminology. Shem echad or shtei nashim, but it's a convenient terminology, and don't lock your brain into it. Hadron Allah chatas ha'ayit. Lovely beginning. Now let us do a lovely ending. He didn't do Fanton the Holy Catholic. You have to be holier than the holy?
No.
Sheesh.
But I would like to say something very cute. Where's Rabbi Yossi the Mar Da'asra?
Uh-oh.
In Sipari.
Oh no, this is terrible.
It's not real, that's my ass.
Why is this Gemara not having straight Mishnahs? What is this?
It's very fortunate that the printer, to keep things calm, just kept going. Because of that, thank God, we have a Daf Yomi on it. Otherwise, we would go into the dark black hole of the rest of Zeroyim and Tyrus.
That's where they are.
I mean, but the truth is, there's obviously a difference. I mean, in Kutchim, we have just a few. First of all, the important thing to note is that we have, as we'll see, a Masechta that has a little bit of Gemara on some of it, and just plain Mishnayos on the rest of it. So what are you going to do there? So there, for sure, you're going to have to give it a daf. So once you do that already, throw in the Mishnayos, get it finished up, we're going to lose out two Masechtas. So then, this is the way it ended up, which was very fortunate for us. And now we shall complete Bezrat Hashem Masechet Megillah. Let's go back to put the chof back into the page. Now it's that chof base instead of just plain bab base. And you don't have to even turn your page. It's the first time you have to turn your page. And we have over here a virtual page. So now we have a chof base page. And we were in the middle of the question that Reish Lakish asked Rav Yochanan. And we have the third version of that question, which is, Alokei aviyayim ibein akutim omer shnei lugim shani atid lafrish Arein truma asarah ma'aser rishon tisha ma'aser sheni u'mecha v'shota miyad divrei Rebbe Meir. So it would appear from here, and Rebbe Yosef reviewed Rebbe Shimon Osrim, so it would appear from here again, the way Rashi was learning is that, well, gee, I mean, how come Rabbi Akiva would agree that you can wait until the last pruta that comes out of this case? I mean, doesn't he have to agree with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon? That's our Rabbi Yossi, by the way, who say that it's usur because you can't rely on Breira in this case. Now, that's a funny question, because as Tosfos said, why the heck would Rabbi Akiva have to agree with them? Why wouldn't he go b'shitas Rabbi Meir? That's mamish on the contrary. He always goes b'shitas Rabbi Meir. Therefore, explains Tosfos, the kasha is as follows. Note that everybody agrees, even Rabbi Meir, that he has to go to the trouble of making a clear-cut condition. I bought wine. I don't have a cup to put the wine into to take off trumas and maisers. I have to speak out, but Pemale, I'm going to drink this wine, I'm going to leave a little bit over. What I leave over, I hereby declare to be the Trumas Amisus, and I rely on Breira, that wherever those molecules are, they're already mufresh, and I can go and be Mechalo them, and so on, correct? Now, nobody suggests that all you got to do is drink and leave something over. Because in order for this to be achieved, you have to be fine. That's where you're being mafresh. So when it comes to our case, even Rabbi Akiva, I mean, how can he go against everybody and say, well, what's the problem? Wait until you get to the end of the wallet. And the last penny that you have in the wallet, when you said this kid should have a penny for Hegdesh taken from it, you take the last penny. Maybe it's the first penny. Because you didn't make this tznach, and even Rabbi Meir agrees that you need to make that tznach. Amar Leiser of Yochanan answered Reish Lakish, save for the Masis in the last case of the mission, which Rabbi Akiva was referring to.
What was wrong?
He was the one who was saying over them the story.
He's saying
three shitas as to what Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Dini said it one way, Robin said it another way, and Rav Papa said it a third way. So now, Rav Yochanan, according to his version, all the versions have the same answer, Rav Yochanan. It's a question of how the words translate in terms of the version. So Rav Yochanan answers, Seifa de matnitin, ba'omer lo yipater kisa min ha-hegdesh. This kiss should not get away without having a pruta taken from it. Now some learn that means that essentially that he in fact made such a tanakh. And that he is relying on Breira. Others learn that this obviates the need for Breira completely. Because remember, by Meiser, you need to have something now that you're taking off as Meiser, otherwise you can't eat it, it's teva. You can't say what's going to be. You have to say what is now. That's why you need Breira, because Breira is capable of retroactively seeing a relationship to what will be in what is. If you hold in Breira, that's the beauty of it. As Rashi's explanation, I'm always mistitled from Rashi, can't resist saying it. Rashi's explanation of Ein Breira is basically the modern recognition of chaos. Rashi says, Ein Breira means that whatever you select at this moment that is meant to be left at the end has nothing to do with what is left at the end. Because random events changes whatever, there's no causal mechanism to define what will be left at the end. And therefore you can't have Breira. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. In any event, the other way of understanding it is that why would I need Breira here? Because if I need to define now based on what will be, you're right, I need Breira. But since over here the point that he's saying is, I don't want there to be a pruta in this case now. I need to explain which pruta it is. All I need to say is that somehow or other, before I use up this case, I want Hegdesh to get something out of it. Fine. So Hegdesh will get the last thing in the case. What does that have to do with Breira?
Well, first,
the Shlichut Tov, 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 the Shlichut T
Bezrat Hashem.
Yippee-yay-yay. I think we've got a Hadron Halach at the end of the Midos here. Eh? The Hadron, they waited all the way till the end of Daf Lamed Vov. Hadron Halach Meseches Mehila Hadron Halach Daiten Halach Meseches Mehila Daiten Halach Nisashim Nachem Meseches Mehila Nisashim Minon Lo Biyama Adain Velo Biyama Daasi. Hadron Halach Meseches Mehila Hadron Halach Daiten Halach Meseches Mehila Daiten Halach Nisnashim Nachem Meseches Mehila Nisnashim Minon Lo Biyama Adain Velo Biyama Daasi. Hadron Halach Meseches Mehila Hadron Halach Daiten Halach Meseches Mehila Daiten Halach ונשנש מן הרבה סכס מאילו ולא תתנשי מנן לא בעמה הבן ולא בעמה דעתי ירצון לפניך דמי אלינו ולאי אביסינו שתהי תרסכו ונוסינו בעולם הזה ותהי אמנו לעולם הבא חנינה בר פאפה, רמי בר פאפה, נחום בר פאפה, אחוי בר פאפה, במורי בר פאפה, רחום בר פאפה, רחש בר פאפה, סורכה בר פאפה, אבא בר פאפה, דאו בר פאפה הרב לא אדוני אלוהינו סברי תורסך בפינו מפייס עמך בייס ישראל ונהיה כולנו אנחנו וצאצינו וצאצי עמך בייס ישראל כולנו יודעי שמך ולומדי תורסך מאויבי תחת מיני מצווסך כי לעולם היא לי יהי ליבי תמים בחוקך למען לא אבוש לעולם לא אשכח פיקודך כי בם חיסני ברוך אתה אדוני אדוני חוקך עוד אם אנחנו לפניך אדוני אלוהינו ולא יבסנו ששמת חלקנו מיושבי בית המדרש ולא שמת חלקנו מיושבי קרנות שאנו משכימים והם משכימים אנו משכימים לדברי תורה והם משכימים לדברים בתהילים אנו עמלים והם עמלים אנו עמלים לדברי תורה ומקבלים שכר והם עמלים ואינם מקבלים שכר אנו רצים והם רצים אנו רצים לחיי עולם הבא והם רצים לבאר שחס שנאמר ואתה אלוהים תורידם לבאר שחס עד שדלמים ומרמה לא יחצו ימיהם ואני אפתח בה יהי רצון בפניך אדוני אלוהינו כשם שעזרתנו לסיים מסכת מעילה כן תעזינו להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימות ללמוד, ללמד, לשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד תורסך באהבה וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לנו לזרענו שלא תימוש התורה מפינו מפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם ותתקיים בנו ויסלח לך תנחה אותך ושובבך תשמור עליך והקיצות היא תשיחך תביא ירבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים אורך ימים בימינה בשמאלה אושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך, תמור ושלום.